Good morning, everybody. Our first reading for today is from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, and Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Whakarongu ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mou tonu tana kupu kia tātou. Te ronga pai tapu. The Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whaka moi miti te karoria ki te atua. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Te rongapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Nice to be back here. This, as I'm sure you are aware, is a Bible. It was going to be a test on that, but no. It's a Bible. It is full of stories, of history, of lore, of various kinds of literature, like letters and songs and poems, that all come together to form one big story. And that big story is a love story. It's a story about how God loves people and is always working to draw them into relationship with him. It starts right at the beginning, right here at the beginning, with Genesis, with God and people dwelling together in love. And then there's a huge arc over the history, all the way through right to the end of time, where it ends in Revelation, with God and people dwelling together in love. Now, there's a few ups and downs along the way, obviously, in amongst that, if you've read it. There's a few ups and downs. One of the sad things, obviously, is that even though God is continually reaching out to people in love, along the way, sometimes people don't love God in return. Or some, maybe even sadder, sometimes people don't believe that God loves them. But I think mostly what happens, if you kind of just take the general ebb and flow of that big story arc, is that along the way, people get lost in life. And probably most of us who are here today can go, we can relate to that. Because there's probably times for each of us in our lives where we've felt lost or far away from God. In the midst of all this story, so God's heart is, as we just heard in our gospel reading today, God's heart is for those who are lost. And along the way, God calls his people to be involved in this mission that he has to reach people who are lost with love and to draw them home by grace. You know, he'll shoulder tap certain people along all the way through that narrative of the Bible and say, will you go for me? And people will say, yeah, here I am. Send me. And throughout the world, he goes to churches and is like, will you go for me? And people say, yes, here we are. Send us. Send us to witness, to love, to invite, to welcome, to celebrate, just as we hear in our gospel reading today. But the important thing, I think, for the church to remember is that we're just getting on board with God's mission. It's really important for us to ground that in the theology that helps us to understand the character of God, that God is love, and God is out there actively loving and drawing people to himself. Christopher Wright wrote like the missionology book in the 1960s, and he put it quite nicely like this. He said, it's not the Church of God that has a mission. It's the mission of God that has... Well done. You know, and it's a little bit challenging sometimes for us as churches because we get quite comfortable often. We really like hanging out together. Well, most of us like hanging out with most of the other rest of us, but we all do like hanging out together, don't we? And we enjoy the songs that we sing, we enjoy our sermons, we enjoy the way we worship, there's so much that we enjoy about gathering together. It's one of the reasons why we're here. But a very good Anglican archbishop back in the day, William Temple, just over 100 years ago, said, the church is the only organization in the world that exists for its non-members. How weird is that? Now, we've just taken part. We're in an interregnum at the moment. We're on the search for a new vicar. If you'd like to apply, just throw up your hand and we'll just forward you to the nomination team. But we've had a consultation process and we had a bunch of meetings at each of the churches. We're invited to fill out some forms. And in those forms, they ask you, you know, what do you like about what we're doing at the moment? Where do you think we could grow? Where would you like to see the church in 3 to 5 years? And we can kind of gather all those different views and diversity of opinions. And that's been really helpful for the nominations group. So thank you, everyone who filled out a form. But probably while you were doing it, I bet you, for many of you, there was just that niggle going away slightly of it's all very well going, what do I want, and what do you want, and what do you want? But really, it's kind of the underlying question, really, isn't it? Is what does God want from us in the next 3 to 5 years? Because in the end, it's not my church or your church, it's God's church. And when we ground ourselves in that theology and scripture of who God, of God's character, his heart for the lost, well, if we're going to be a faithful church, we kind of need to get on board with God's heart so that we can reflect his heart for those who are lost and those who are far off. And it's challenging because, like any organization, it's easy for us to become kind of comfortable in doing what we like to do when God's calling us to have an awareness of the people who are beyond our church walls currently. So we have that sort of scriptural foundation in our theology of the character of God that's reflected in our gospel reading today, but in many places throughout scripture. And it's really good for us to understand that that underpins our theology of mission, which is great. But alongside that scriptural underpinning becomes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You'll remember at the end of the Gospels and beginning of Acts, Jesus says to the church, you know, wait here in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you, the Holy Spirit who's going to guide you, and the Holy Spirit who's going to empower you for this mission that I'm laying down before you for you to go and do. And so alongside scripture and mission is also the work of the Holy Spirit in mission. So I want to share with you a word, actually, that came out of our Lenten studies. Who remembers the Lenten studies? They were pretty memorable. Music, the sacred spirituality ones, they were awesome. Well, on one particular night, we had a couple of visiting pastors from another church. And some of you will know them, Sarah and Bruce, the Vineyard pastors. Bruce runs things down at the camp down at El Rancho. Apparently, you don't have to be called Bruce to run El Rancho, but it does apparently definitely does apparently help. I'll just stick it on the CV. But yes, so they were there. They had some family there, and they really enjoyed the evening. And afterwards, Sarah came up and just said, "Look, when we're having that time of worship, that time of waiting and listening to God, I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking, and I wanted to share that with you." And so she started to share it with me. And I was like, "Well, can you write that all down, and I can share it with other people?" And so she did that. She emailed it to me, and I had the opportunity to share it with you. And one of the things that we always say, we said it this morning, didn't we? We've even got a little card here in case you forget. At the end of our reading, we say, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church," which is great because we want to be inspired and challenged by Scripture. And now what I want you to do is just listen and use your heart to discern, because some of you might be like, "Yeah, I go to New Wine every year, I'm up for this." And some of you might come from church backgrounds, be like, "Ooh, does God do that? Does God just speak into our midst? Like, I don't know." So what I want you to do is I want you to get your... Paul talks about the eyes of our hearts. So just open the ears of your hearts and just think, what are you receiving? What are you hearing as you listen to this? And then I'm actually going to get you in just in threes and fours, just to quickly, as a church, share with one another what you hear the Spirit saying to the church. So here we go. A little bit of preamble from Sarah. "What a beautiful evening reflecting on Lent, music, and Agnus Dei. Thank you to Mark's facilitation of the evening, to those who served us Kai and tea, to Simon, who's here today, to Simon for sharing his passion for music, and to Ben for the invitation to worship. It was a beautiful experience to participate in the evening as someone who doesn't normally attend St. Luke's. The following is my experience that I had when we entered into that time for worship. As we began to worship, the train crossing bells also began to ring, proclaiming a train was coming. I heard the lyrics to an old song called People Get Ready. People get ready, there is a train a-coming. I was then reminded of a dinner conversation I had across the street at the Cambodian restaurant just before the meeting. Upon an earlier train arrival, I remarked, 'Look at all those people scurrying somewhere.' My friend said, 'Home. They are heading home.' I wondered about this train coming, carrying passengers, seeking home. And then I saw windows and doors flung open and heard reference to yet another song, Making All Things New. And the lyrics go like this: I leave all the windows open, let the light come through. Sunshine warm and golden, morning making all things new. Home where my heart is, home where my love lives, home my beginning and end. Home. Look at all the colors, wild, wonderful, and true. Your breath light as a feather, like little whispers in the room. Home where my heart is, home where my love lives, home my beginning and end. Home. Home where my heart is, home where my love lives, home my beginning and end. Home, my beginning and end. Home." I intuitively understood that the open windows were allowing for a fresh wind of the Spirit, and that the doors wide open were welcoming to all. I also knew that St. Luke's was a place where some were going to find home. I was then overwhelmed with emotion. I felt that there were people present in the congregation who had seen God move in the past and had been waiting for some time to see something more happen. Disappointment, doubt, fear, and a sense of being redundant had tried to choke them. Still, they had been faithful. I started to cry when I felt that these very people had merely been primed for this coming train's arrival. Like Simeon and Anna, some of them have been waiting for promises made to them, and I felt that the Lord said that they would see it with their own eyes. Why don't you just turn to the people around you, and perhaps in threes or fours, just share, what do you hear the Spirit saying to the church in that, and what do you hear? Go now. Just give you one more minute. Ten more seconds. All right, come on back. You can carry on the conversations over a cup of tea afterwards. That's all good as well. That's wonderful. Nice to hear all the bubble on the chatter. It's really, really great. So we've covered a little bit from scripture and theology, a little bit of empowerment of the Holy Spirit, or what might the Spirit be saying to the church now. But there is another bit that I just want to end on to touch base with our epistle reading today. And that is, we are a good news people. And each of us probably wouldn't be here today if we didn't have a good news story to share. And I felt really touched, again, just reading the beginning of Timothy. I'd forgotten that Paul starts out his letter to Timothy in that way. He's offering lots of... Timothy's a young leader in the church, and he's offering lots of advice to Timothy through these letters. But he starts it off by grounding it in his own story of God's love and grace towards him. And he says, he goes, out of all the dirty, rotten sinners in the world, I was pretty much the worst. And it's kind of pretty true if you know Paul's story. So he's not wrong. But he just talks about the way in which, but God loved him and found him. And in grace, brought him home. And there's that beautiful bit, the last couple of verses of that passage, of just him praising God, writing out his praises to God, that God has done that. And I just think it's so interesting that he's writing to a young leader with lots of advice, but he's still grounding it right up front with wherever you go in ministry and whatever you do in ministry, however you preach, never forget almost the love of God that's been reaching out to you and the grace of God that's been drawing you home. And I just thought that was really beautiful and such a great story to share with Timothy, hopefully that he would then take that into his ministry as well. And I think the thing that I always find as I'm out there talking to people about or sharing my faith with people is I meet very few atheists, by the way. Most people I run into would describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. But people, I find, are hungry for authentic spirituality, hungry for authentic stories about who God is. There's a guy called Graham Tomlin, who was a theologian at Holy Trinity, Brompton. I got to go on a little tour with him once, which was cool. But he wrote a book called The Provocative Church, and in it he said, mostly people I talk to aren't asking, is it true? They're asking, is it real? Does your faith make a real lived difference in your life? And if it does, maybe it could make a difference in their lives too. So what I want you to get you to do for a moment, and I'm just going to leave a minute's silence, I want you to think about your story with God. And if you were just running into somebody out there in the supermarket after church, and someone got chatting, and you said, oh, you've been to church? They go, do you go to church? Why do you go to church? Nice. You don't even need a minute to think about that. But if they gave you a minute of their time, what would you share? And would you give them a minute of your time for them to share wherever they're at with God? To listen, to share and to listen. And to touch base with those people that God is working in their lives out there in the world. So I'm just going to give you a minute to think about what you would want to say about God. Think of Paul's testimony, think of your own. Might be a story in the past, might be something really recent that you do. I'd just love to tell people about this. It's so good. Let's just take a minute of silence to think about what that might be. St. Peter, in his letters in the epistle in the New Testament, says this: always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect. So by always, I looked up the Greek and it meant always. So I'm glad that you all came to church so ready to share the hope that you have with someone here today. And to remember, but just a reminder too, to do so with gentleness and respect. Because some people might be in different places than you with God. But here's the one thing I want to say. We did this exercise recently with the youth group kids. And they just really entered into it so well. And one of the things I was so aware of is it's vulnerable to share your story with someone. And actually, if someone's prepared to share their story with you, it's a gift. And it's good for us to receive it well. So what I want you to do in a minute when I say go is I want you to go and find someone maybe you don't know so well. You're probably just chatting to people before with people that you know fairly well because you're sitting around them. But to find someone you don't know so well, and you don't have to share your story. You could ask them if they wanted to share their story. But just take a little bit of time just to sit and listen or share stories of what God has been doing in your lives. Good news. And if you're not sure about what God's been doing in your life, you might just want to share, well, how did you end up here today? Because there must be a story behind that, right? All right, on your marks, get set, go and share.
Well, folks, I think we better get back on track. Can I ask for the musicians to make their way to the front so we can have a semblance of order? Sure. Semblance of order. All right. That was fantastic. That was fantastic. Yeah.
Unless we're going to do this a cappella, I might need some musicians.
All right, let's stand for the song that's going to make me cry, Amazing Grace.
I'd like to stand for our next waiata.